The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Come to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. I was just listening to Aaron's newscast. Why do we have to replace statues? What? You know, Marcus Whitman, if you grew up in Ballard, you either went to James Monroe Junior High or Marcus Whitman Junior High. And now we got to replace his statue in Washington, D.C. It's just a mania. It's a mania that we have to deny our past and to try to scrub our past. It's crazy. All right. But with that as mere prelude, I have a live guest here. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
I've told you from the very beginning, from the first day we covered the story, and we have covered it extensively here on the Dory Monson Show, of supposed Nigerian scammers who took $650 million from the taxpayers of Washington. We know what's transpired since then. Susie Levine didn't report this to the FBI for 3 weeks. I just wonder what kind of cover-up was going on in those 3 weeks. And then the state auditor wanted to look into it. And Susie Levine's agency, no doubt with the support of Governor Jay Inslee, stonewalled the auditor for months, refused public disclosure requests from major media outlets. And now, after Susie Levine gets a huge promotion to the Biden administration, we find out the auditor has released its report on ESD, and they now believe more than $1 billion was stolen from the people of our state. Significant because unemployment taxes are skyrocketing for businesses. At a time when business can least afford that, you are paying for either the inability to manage this criminal operation or to prevent the criminal operation, or if there was graft and corruption from within, I don't know. But somebody who's been looking into this is State Senator Jeff Wilson, who joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. Senator, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Well, good afternoon to everybody, and thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. Okay, so now that we know that it was actually more than $1 billion apparently taken from ESD, what does this tell us? What does this tell you as a senator?
Well, what it tells me as a senator should tell everybody in the state of Washington the same message. This is like a bank robbery where the People's Bank has been robbed, and now we're at the point we should have expected transparency, but now we're demanding transparency and accounting through an audit, and it doesn't look good. So at least our system now is trying to expose who the good and bad players of this, well, this bank robbery was.
Okay, and I have contended, you just heard me say it, I've contended from the very beginning that this has always looked like, at least in part, an inside job. They lowered the security threshold to allow the supposed Nigerians access to all of these accounts. They lowered it for a short time, and that's when these guys happened to come in and steal all of the money. They didn't report it for weeks to the FBI. They stonewalled the auditor for months. They stonewalled public records disclosure requests for months. If they are public servants, if their goal is to do their job, their fiduciary responsibility to us, the public, then every aspect of this sounds like an inside job to me. What about you?
Well, you know, I'm not going to go so far as to lay that claim yet. However, actions at this time have spoken louder than fraud loss. And what I mean by that is the actions and the conduct of the Employment Security Department is inexcusable. Absolutely. And for that reason alone, it creates the suspicion. When you do not fully comply with an audit or you keep secrets, it's not acceptable. And what I'm most afraid of now is we're kind of getting past that. And as you mentioned, Don, the leader of the group has been rewarded with the career advancement with the Biden administration. And you know, nothing personal, but leadership needs to be held accountable. And this story is, I believe, just beginning, sir.
Well, I do, too. And I'll be shocked if it doesn't result in people going to prison. So what do you do now? What do you do to advance this investigation to try to either assuage the fears of people like me or to confirm the guilt of people within? What do you do to make this happen?
Well, the first thing we do is we never quit and we don't stop, because I'll tell you and your listeners right now, economic justice has not been served. And myself as an elected or anybody else, we should not stop until we seek this resolution. And I'm going to demand additional audits and accountability on this. Now, I'm not sure how that's going to look like, but let's look at the damage. The $1.1 potential billion-dollar loss, I mean, in a state that talks about equity and housing and whatnot, let's put this into perspective. $1 billion will build you 10,000 homes for two-bedroom homes at $10,000 or $100,000 apiece. So relative to not only getting caught with their hand in the cookie jar, it's not that their hand was in it to eat it themselves. Their hand was in the cookie jar giving the cookies to the wrong people.
Okay, and so why are all of these costs and expenses being passed on to businesses who are hurting from the COVID shutdown? I've talked to business owners whose unemployment insurance has gone up 5 times, 7 times. One of them sent me a copy of their statement. It's going up 20 times. So we have either incompetence or illegality at the top, whether it be Susie Levine, Jay Inslee, or somebody else within ESD. Why in the world do the people of this state and the hardworking, job-creating, tax-paying business owners, why do they have to pick up the tab for this absolutely shameful incompetence?
Well, unfortunately, our employment taxation for such a fund is based on a social justice type of economic input where everybody has to pay and share the losses. It's almost like, to some extent, and insurance where you spread the risk out. But now the surviving business operators and all of their hardworking employers, they're the ones that have to restitute this thievery. And, you know, as a legislature, we've come up with some good ideas to backfill and the reduction of, say, business and occupation rates or lowering of the rates. And I think that that's part of the solution. And we're not going to stop until we are able to somehow offer relief. But quite frankly, we still need to seek justice. It's simply not right to condone this, whether it's a conspiracy or
well,
not.
Of course.
These wrongdoings
right.
need to be held accountable.
So let me ask you.
It could be in a court of law.
Is the FBI still involved?
Now, that I can't comment on because I just don't have that knowledge. I will say they should be as far as I'm concerned.
Have you ever heard of somebody in an operation, in any entity of business, losing $1 billion of their employer's money and getting a promotion after doing so? Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Actually, I have, and that happened with the director, the person we're talking about. I'm being a little snarky, but of course not. And it's not supposed to be condoned. It's not supposed to be acceptable. And I don't have a whole lot of nice words to say on that, you know, due to the conduct of the activity. And then to cast excuses. I've never seen so many excuses that came public in the audit that we weren't ready, we didn't know. And I will offer to your listeners the one thing that's still missing, as I was raised with my family, where's the manners? The very least, where's the great big I'm sorry to every worker and employer that contributed to this fund? We don't even have manners enough. All we have is deflection and excuses.
Well, and then I'll end with this. This is now a bigger fraud case than the Enron scandal of about 20 years ago. And I know a lot about this because one of my great listeners, who was one of the whistleblowers at Enron, she has been a whistleblower with this employment security fraud. So she knows the similarities between the two. This is now in dollar amount bigger than Enron. A bunch of Enron execs went to prison for what they did to the shareholders and for all the losses they created. And if people don't go to prison for this, I don't expect it'll happen because I think there's so much cronyism in this state. And I know that you are a Republican senator, but we are essentially a one-party state. And it just seems to me that Jay Inslee, Susie Levine, everybody involved, it is just one hand washing the other. And I'd love to know if this $1 billion truly went to Nigerians.
Absolutely. And the company that we keep doesn't necessarily equal out to responsible leadership. You've already talked about the control was stricken away and was given away to the governor on emergency mandates of this. And so the governor controls the on and off spigot of, say, what started the unemployment to begin with. However, those that are in charge, I personally won't rest until we seek some form of accountability and we can answer with a straight face to the people of Washington State that, yeah, they need to have some faith in their government again.
Yep. All right. State Senator Jeff Wilson, appreciate you coming on with me today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir, and enjoy your beautiful week.
All right. I am enjoying it. All right. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Well, let me give you an example of just the kind of arrogance that is in Olympia, in our state legislature, from the Democratic side. Because I played for you about a week ago, Tim Iman. And I know not everybody's a Tim Iman fan, but Tim Iman was testifying about $30 car tabs, which we overwhelmingly voted for. And then the legislature said for more than a year, well, we hear the people and we're going to make it right. You know, we'll have some reduction in this criminal conspiracy to steal the people's money, to value your car at way above Blue Book value. And they talked and talked and talked about it. And then about a week or so ago, they said, yeah, we're not going to give you any of your money back. We fooled you. So all the people who voted for $30 tabs, overwhelmingly, we are going to continue to have to pay these outlandish, outrageous car tabs. And I tell you what, I just got my property taxes, and I saw how much I'm paying to Sound Transit, how many thousands of dollars I'm paying to Sound Transit. Between car tabs and property taxes and sales tax, and I told you this from the beginning. The average family, over the course of Sound Transit is going to pay $125,000 to the biggest criminal public agency in our nation's history. So anyway, Tim Iman, a week ago, he was testifying about the legislature saying, nope, not going to do it, not going to give you any reduction at all, and this is what happened.
I had a debate with Steve Hobbs up in Everett, and he made every argument he could about continuing to rip people off. It's worth it because look at all this great stuff we're doing for you. The voters didn't buy it. Nearly 60% of voters in Snohomish County didn't buy it.
Cut his mic off, Dana. All right. Before you go on, Tim, I did not intend to rip people off. So choose your words carefully. I give you the courtesy to speak in this committee. You're not going to come in here and insult me. There are many times I've even let you have extra time. So let's be respectful.
Now, I'll tell you what a bunch of delicate little snowflakes these Democratic legislators are. I didn't intend to rip people off. Of course he did. Of course he did. He knows that cars are being valued way over their market value. That's an illegal tax. He knows that Sound Transit lied to get Sound Transit 3 on the books. He knows that Sound Transit sent out a press release a couple of days ago saying their Northgate line is going to open in September on time and under budget, when it's billions over budget and 15 years behind schedule. We did a reset. Say, now we're on time and under budget. Reset. So when Tim Iman is just calling him out on all this stuff, turn his mic off, and then he scolds him because these guys who work for us, they are our representatives. That's what representative government means. They work for us. I'm not going to let you insult me. These guys insult us every single day by jacking up taxes sky high. Okay, let's go back to that.
Dana, you can reset his clock to 1 minute. Go ahead.
Well, thanks very much. We did have a very respectful debate that evening, and we both made our arguments to the voters. And we both tried to convince them that our position was the right one. 60% of the voters in Snohomish County voted in favor of making car tabs $30. Your arguments were rejected by those voters. We were both respectful of one another, but we both realized that a majority of voters, an overwhelming majority of voters, expect not to get ripped off by a $10,000 car getting taxes if it's worth $25,000. That is getting ripped off. You personally are not doing it. But by not fixing the problem, the entire legislature is ripping us off, not doing anything about it, and now pouring salt in the wound by increasing all the other taxes, all the other fees, plus the low carbon fuel standard, plus the carbon tax, plus the cap and trade. There just seems this insatiable tax appetite and a disrespect for the voters. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Okay, so that's not horribly disrespectful. He just said you're taxing us through the roof. And as I said, this follows about a week ago when they again just won't allow people to question their pure motive.
There shouldn't be anything going forward. There should be a little sugar to help the medicine go down for you to actually acknowledge the fact that voters voted to lower their car taps down. There's no acknowledgement of that at all. All you're doing is just simply going after the same people that you're ignoring on their $30 tabs and turning around and jacking up their taxes.
Mr. All the people Iman, the Mr. Iman,
happy
Mr.
getting Iman, money.
Mr. Iman, be careful not to impugn the motives of any of our good members.
Okay, again, who the heck is he? I'll impugn your motives of all our good members. I don't think you're all good. I think the bunch of you are really nasty. And I think the fact that you're raising our gas taxes through the roof, which is going to hurt the poor, the working class, the middle class, more than anybody. The fact that you're putting all these carbon taxes in, they're going to jack up the price of home heating. I don't think anything is good or pure about this. You pass the most radical sex ed bill in the country, impose that on our children. You cannot impugn the good motives of our members. Why? Why can't we? You work for us. Who are you?
Very good. I'm only impugning the motives of the entire legislature. No one seems to be acknowledging the basic fact that the voters...
Mr. Iman, you're finished. Please cut off the mic.
Cut off the mic. You can't tell us that our motives aren't pure. Well, you know what, Steve Hobbs? You can't cut off my mic. And I will gladly tell everybody that your motives are not pure. Your motives of raising taxes as sky high as possible, of having a governor who lied on this radio show saying he would never sign a tax increase and had nearly doubled the tax burden at the state level on the people in 8+ years. I'll impugn your motives. I know you would love to cut off my mic. I know you would love it. But you don't understand how badly people are hurting. Businesses are hurting. And all you can think about is rewarding your radical, far-left constituencies. And if that means bearing the poor, the middle class, the working class of this state, then that's what you're going to do. And I think it's despicable. All these gas taxes, look, for the foreseeable future, I've told you, my wife and I, first time in my life, I had my first car on October 1st, 1977, the day before my 16th birthday. I bought my first car. I worked for it. I started working when I was 12 so I could buy a car when I was 16. I've owned a car every day of my life. I haven't owned one for about 3 months now. My wife and I are splitting one vehicle. These gas taxes are affecting us less than anybody. So I'm not going off on this because I got to pay more. I'm going to be relatively unaffected by this. But I am going to keep fighting and working for the people of this state, and especially the working class. You know, the guys who have fleets of 25 trucks, and they're going to see their costs going up tens of thousands of dollars to operate their business. I've heard from those people. You have too. The only difference is I listen to them. You ignore them. You don't take any consideration into all of your dealing. All you can think about, all you can think about is how high can we raise taxes, which is why you're going for the state income tax. And I know I'm way over time, but I'm fired up, and that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Check the news, and then lots more to come on the Dory Monson Show. Let me also give you a reason to fear the state income tax that Jay Inslee and the legislature are no doubt going to sign off on and get it into the courts. And they're going to hope that a radical activist state Supreme Court is going to legislate from the bench. And despite our state constitution, we would be the only state in the country where capital gains is not defined as income. They're trying to do something unprecedented. But why are they trying so hard to get this capital gains income tax? Well, you look at California, where people are leaving the state in droves, just in absolute droves. And it's because of the tax burden down there. For the top earners, their income tax, state income tax, is 13.3%. So if you make, and that's for, well, let's say you have a middle-class dual-income family where each person makes 100 grand a year. 9.3% income tax. So if you have a husband-wife making 100,000 a year, or husband-husband-wife-wife, making each 100,000 a year, 200,000 combined, they have to pay 9.3% on their marginal tax rate. It's, you know, 20, peeling off 20,000. It's not 20,000 because you're first. I don't know what the exempt level is in California. But even if you make 58,000 a year, you are still in the 9.3% tax bracket. That's what they want to do here in our state. They want to get tax implemented, and then they will lower the threshold and they will raise the rates. Guaranteed. Absolute guaranteed. And in California, the state is near bankruptcy because the wealthy people are leaving the state in droves, and the poorer people, they just can't afford it right now. So just be aware that what they're trying to do with the state income tax, it's going to get everybody eventually. That is the goal of this legislature. They don't mind raising the gas tax a buck a gallon. Believe me, they will think nothing of going after the working class people for an income tax once they get the courts to approve it. See, I got some other audio to share with you here. This is interesting. I saw a picture. Oh, man. Have you seen the latest pictures from the U.S.-Mexico border? Where 10% of the children who are being kept in cages, 10% of them are testing positive for COVID. It's running rampant through the cages. And Kamala Harris, 3 weeks ago, was put in charge, and she still hasn't been down to the U.S.-Mexico border. Why? Well, the vice president's mansion in Washington, D.C., it's been getting remodeled. And Kamala wanted to oversee the remodeling project, which is costing us hundreds of thousands of dollars. But she's been too busy to go tend to the U.S.-Mexico border. So, right now as I'm speaking, I'm seeing pictures. The children look like they're being stacked up like cordwood down there. It is so much worse today than when Donald Trump was president. And why? Because Joe Biden said during the debate, the first day I'm president, I want you to surge the border. That's what he told them to do, and that's what they are doing. And it is a crisis in every way. It's a humanitarian crisis. It is certainly a child abuse crisis. 80% of the women and girls making the trek across Mexico are raped. It's a sex abuse crisis. I want you to listen. Listen to the difference in how the networks covered this story when Donald Trump was president versus Joe Biden. Here's Donald Trump.
Well, the images suggest those of concentration camps.
The Statue of Liberty, I think, is weeping right now.
There's no denying that this is an incredibly complex humanitarian issue that's, of course, made even more difficult by the fact that we're dealing with this in the midst of a pandemic.
He will be forever remembered as the president who traumatized little children.
Okay, Statue of Liberty's crying. Concentration camps. Joe Biden is president.
A lot of these children are part of a problem that the Biden administration inherited from the Trump administration.
No, it's absolutely not true. It has become dramatically worse. Donald Trump is president.
The system is broken inside of the country.
Increasingly, Donald Trump is turning this nation into Nazi Germany and turning these into concentration camps.
I call this a concentration camp for kids.
Joe Biden is president.
Obviously, this is a problem that the Biden administration inherited from the Trump administration.
Again, not true. Trump is president.
Babies in jail. Babies in baby cages.
Challenges facing U.S. Border Patrol amid this migrant surge.
Babies in jail.
Jailed babies.
Biden. A very, very tough situation that the Biden administration now needs to contend with.
Something that's very difficult for the federal government to deal with at the border.
Where's the babies in jail? Where's the concentration camps? Trump is president.
Children are being marched away to showers. I know they're being marched away to showers, just like the Nazis.
You have a lot of border agents. You know the union was very pro-Trump, who are now starting to just leak out videos anonymously, which can be very dangerous where we don't know where things are coming from.
We begin this afternoon with the wails of children.
We could make fun of the disparity, but isn't it sad? Isn't it sick? Isn't it unbelievable that there are so many people working in the biz who see children, who see this humanity as nothing but political pawns? A lot of people are losing their souls, are losing their humanity. Okay, quick timeout, and then we will count down our favorite sound bites of the day coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Why don't we count down our favorite sound bites of the day?
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Coming in at number three, Brett Favre. NFL Hall of Famer Brett Favre says he's tired of all the social activism invading professional sports.
I know when I turn on a game, I want to watch a game. I want to watch players play and teams win, lose, come from behind. I want to watch all the, you know, the important parts of the game, not what's going on outside of the game. And I think the general fan feels the same way.
And there's a lot of tension in the locker rooms now because players are arguing about these social issues. And he says it never used to be that.
We were in something together. We fought together. We won together. We lost together. And we truly were a family. To answer your question, we absolutely didn't have issues that I don't know what issues they're, if any, in the locker room that they're facing now, other than what I hear or assumptions. So, if there are problems within the locker room, that's too bad.
And he says he's really disappointed at where pro sports is and the NFL in particular.
I mean, it's a shame. It's really a shame that we've come to this. But the old saying, it is what it is.
Yes, it is. All right. Elsewhere in Awesome Audio. So at White Bear Lake High School in Minnesota, there was a student who went on social media and posted horrible racist stuff about how they want black kids to kill themselves and called people racist names. And, man, the school, they had a walkout. They demanded that the school do something about it. And TV covered it as well, just how outraged and upset the kids were.
I have people telling me I look like a clown because my hair is red and I have an afro.
This walkout was sparked by the discovery of an anonymous Instagram page and chat room targeting students of color at the school. Many of the posts, so disturbing, we can't show them to you here. Students were called the N-word, dog, and one person wrote, they hope the black students die like George Floyd.
Looking at some of the comments that were left and directed toward these students, I mean, they're disgusting.
It is disgusting, disheartening. I mean, it's almost sickening. It makes you sick to your stomach.
And the principal at the high school says they have to do
this. This is not the first, second, third.
While calling for accountability, the students also called out the principal, asking why more hasn't been done despite persistently reporting these problems.
Obviously, we haven't done a good enough job because in your mind, it hasn't been good enough. So we
okay. How many times are media outlets going to report these stories without having any skepticism whatsoever going in? Because of how many of these turn out to be hoaxes. After an investigation, it turns out that it was a student of color, they said, who sent out all of the hateful, racist messages as a hoax. Again, all I'm asking is have a critical eye. You know, I've told you there's a business in the greater Seattle area that has claimed to be the victim of hate crimes a couple of times. And the FBI got involved. And I've talked to sources in law enforcement. And they believe that the hate crimes were self-inflicted. And I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to name the biz or anything. But just look at these things with some skepticism. But, man, they had student walkouts in every TV station covering it, and it was just absolute outrage, they said. And then there's Candace Owens, who is what a fantastic commentator Candace Owens is. And she was talking about this report that one of the leaders of Black Lives Matter has bought several homes worth over $1 million. She is making out like a bandit. Well, very little of the money that's donated to BLM is actually going to their stated cause.
Marxists steal money from other people and they enrich themselves until the people that they stole from are poor. And so she has stolen money from other people on the pretext of a lie that is Black Lives Matter. And she's enriched herself and she's brought four homes. I mean, you have to kind of appreciate the honesty. She's not hiding by any means, you know. And so, I tend to agree with you here. She's a communist through and through, and she's been unbelievably unapologetic in her approach.
Which is why I haven't supported the organization. I support the intent of the words Black Lives Matter, not the big business that is.
You know, these corporations that are pouring millions and millions of dollars into Black Lives Matter, and you're correct, they said we raised more than $90 million. How much more, we will never know. But $90 million, of which $21 million apparently went to, according to Black Lives Matter themselves, it went to building the black movement. Like, I don't even know what that means. $25 million going to building a black movement. Apparently, the black movement was Patrice moving herself. herself, a black woman moving herself into other areas of the communities of people that she claims are oppressing black Americans. She's fearful of white people. White people are so bad. Well, why doesn't she want to live amongst black people? Why is she choosing to move herself into an all-white neighborhood? These are important questions.
They are. And I don't give, my wife and I, we always check how much a charity gives to its stated intent. And if the expense ratio is over 20%, we don't give. Apparently, the expense ratio at BLM is about 75%. Does not go to the causes they say they support. Always be skeptical, just a little bit. Okay, that's going to do it for us. Tom and Curly Show's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and we'll see you tomorrow. High noon.
Look, your act is about as fresh as a Foghat concert.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.